something down inside of me keeps telling me to go on. Oh, something down inside of me keeps telling me to go on. Oh, something down inside of me keeps telling me to go on. Go on, go on, go on. Oh, now something down inside of me keeps telling me to go on. Something down inside of me keeps telling me to go on. Well, something down inside of me keeps telling me to go on.
Praise God. Well, it's good to see the youth made it back. Brother and Sister Fisher brought them back. I hope they brought something back with them to help us go on. Hallelujah. Glad you made it back home. Praise God. The Little Rock Youth is going to be known for the Body of Christ Youth Meeting Chasers. I didn't put it on there. I bought it as on there. And it says Rainbow Chaser. I've always wanted to change that because I'm not chasing a rainbow. No. I'm chasing something. I'm like the Apostle Paul. He's apprehended that of which he'd been apprehended. I'm chasing Jesus. I'm chasing righteousness. I'm looking for the kingdom of God. Amen. I've made up my mind to seek after it. He said, seek and you shall find. Hallelujah. All right, some of you youth, help us out.
The meeting was fantastic from the beginning. I mean, as the prayer started, as the band number came in, you could feel the Spirit, and it didn't take long for the Spirit to just flow through the entire congregation. It was a packed house there in Godfrey, and it was fantastic. And some of them were relating about other meetings that didn't get a chance to go to, like Mount Carmel or in Houston. How I think in Houston there's quite a bit of the Spirit without even any music or anything else going on. It was just the Spirit was just rolling through. Well, that came on into that assembly there in Godfrey, as far as the Spirit just came in and we just started praising the Lord, and you could just feel it so strong, and you couldn't help but just reach out to Him. It was fantastic. And I tell you, there was so many good, I was telling someone else here earlier, it was just, there was never really a time for hesitation. I mean, it was, you know, song, people were sitting down, and there was someone up ministering, giving their heart, and you could tell that that we had came with a purpose. And that was something, actually, one of the topics of the meeting was, it was, you know, what we were there for. Why were we there? We had a purpose in mind. We weren't just coming to pass time. We were coming there to lift up the name of the Lord. We were coming there to learn more about Him. A couple of the thoughts was Brother Dave's, Brother Jason Dave's, I should say, when he opened up the meeting, he was talking about some previous services. And he gave a point of view that I hadn't really thought of it that way before. You know, we always, I should say, I'll refer to myself in this, I always minimize myself. As you know, I look at it as far as like the humble aspect, as far as, you know, who I am, things of that nature. But I negate that God is trying to lift me up in Him, that I negate His power sometimes by really minimizing the impact that I can have on a service. You know, if I just come in and I sit back here and say, well, I'm nothing, so I'm going to let so-and-so do this or someone do that. Well, I'm not only hindering myself, but I could be hindering someone else. And he was just talking about the trying to see that we're building a wall here. There's something that's going on. We're building the body of Christ, and I'm not going to be able to do that sitting on the pew. I need to be getting in there and whatever my part be, whether it be raising my hands, whether it be praising the Lord with a shout, whether it be singing, dancing, however it is to play that part. And I really appreciate it as far as he was saying, you know, it does matter what we put into a service. And I know that in my mind, but as far as I hadn't really thought about, you know, not really answering the call in sometimes. Because I'll tell you, first off, when I got there, I thought, well, this is nice. I'll get a chance to sit by my wife, you know, and I'm back here. I mean, you know, we didn't sit in the back, Brother Smith. We had a good seat, you know, we were ready to participate. And I was there probably about all of maybe 10 minutes sitting down when Brother Justin Beck comes back there and said, well, brother, we need you up here. And I was, oh, no, I'm fine. You know, there's a young man that needs to be up there. Well, no, we're trying to get the chaperones and everyone else. And that's when I was like, really? I'm not a chaperone. I'm youth, right? But He told me no, and he escorted me up there, and I you know, so from that start, I saw, you know what, there's no time to sleep. There's no time to sit on my laurels. There's no time to stop, because if I've stopped, if I'm not moving forward, I'm going backward, because the church is moving on today, right? This is going forward. We're going toward our goal. We're not going backward. So I tell you, there was so many things that I try to take a lot of notes, but I know that we have some youth here that are on fire to want to talk about what they heard in this meeting as well, so I don't want to steal their thunder. But I just want to say I appreciate the opportunity to be able to take the youth. They're a very, very good group of youth that we have here, and I want to appreciate them in that and just say I'm thankful. I am thankful to be here, though, in my home assembly where we can apply these things that we hear at these meetings. You know, I don't want to go and I don't want to gather all these things and then just put them on a shelf. But I want to put them into practice into my life. I want to move forward a little bit further. That's why I go to these. That's why I come to church, is so I can get a little closer to Him. So I'm thankful to be here tonight.
I'm definitely thankful I got to go to the youth meeting. The spirit dropped. I mean, dropped. You could tell that when everyone was laying out on the floor, speaking in tongues, and I started shaking, like, bad. And then me and Tanya were standing, like, in a row, and we just started praying, and we definitely got touched. And then me and Clara were up there with the other youth, and we got touched really good. It was a very good youth meeting. I'm very glad I got to go, and I think all the youth was able to feel the spirit.
Thankful I got to go also. Like Natalie said, the spirit was really strong and everybody felt it. Everybody was up front praying, and kind of the theme of the meeting was moving out and obeying God when He tells you to do something. And I don't want to sit in my seat when He's telling me to get up. So I was praise of God, and I'm glad I went to go.
I'm glad I got to go to the meeting. It was really good. As they said, the spirit did drop.
I'm thankful I got to go. It was an amazing meeting. And like they said, the spirit there was really strong. And I got to go to the meeting. It was just really good day of meeting. And one thing that stood out to me was Brother Chase Vanderbaum, who's been having the seizures in Wichita. He was very encouraging. I was very surprised that he stayed encouraged through all that he's been going through. And I'm just really thankful I got to go.
I'm really thankful I got to go to the meeting. Like everyone said, you could really feel the spirit. And I'm thankful I got to play in the band with everybody. And whenever I was standing up front, Sister Hart came up and started talking to me. I don't really remember everything she said, but one thing that really stood out to me was stay on the boat, or the sharks are going to get you. That's really what I got. I'm thankful to be here.
Well, I'm really glad I got to go, because this is my first youth meeting, and I really got touched. And I was thinking, I didn't get the Holy Ghost there, but God, maybe he knows where you're going to get it. So, you know, I didn't get it there, but I may get it today or, you know, any time. So I'm just glad I got to go.
I was really thankful that we were asked to take the youth. We really do have a wonderful group of people. One thing that really stood out to me this youth meeting was that it wasn't about the whole youth coming together and just encouraging each other to keep going, like it was we were slacking off and we needed to keep going. It was that they were prayed up, and I mean, it was just that's why the Spirit fell so hard, is because they just were there with a purpose, with a mission, and you could feel that. And that was such a blessing to me to see all of that, that it wasn't just, let's lift each other up, we can keep doing this, we know it's hard. But it was like, that was already accepted, it was done, and what can we do to move on? What are we doing to move forward? And what Rachel was saying was, you know, a lot of them touched on being available for the Lord, getting, you know, just making yourself available. Don't just sit there being distracted, you know. Focus on where you're at, what you're doing, and playing your part and doing what you're supposed to do. And then the other part that stood out in the meeting was about victory, getting the victory, that the Lord, we limit what he can do by not being available. And the victory that we can get in our own personal things, that we come to the Lord if we will just actually praise him instead of just moping about it. And so I was really blessed. We have a wonderful, wonderful group of youth, and we were lucky to take them. And I was really proud that they all stayed and played in the band, and they all played their part and were down front. And that just, I'm not old yet, okay? But it did my heart good to see all the youth at the meeting like that. So I'm glad I got to go.
I'm thankful because I got to go to the meeting. It was so exciting because it was my first one. And I'm just happy because I got to go, and I just really like their church. It's really nice. And it was cool because I got to meet new people, and it was good meeting new ministers and those other people.
I'm just really glad I got to go. That's it.
That's a long time ago, many moons. And I remember, I have a hard time remembering stuff, but you remember a lot of good stuff because of the Spirit. And I remember seeing a lot of young people. And I remember I didn't have the Holy Ghost, but I felt something there. I felt like, oh my goodness, what is it like to be part of that? You know, I wanted to feel what they're feeling, even though I was feeling something, but I didn't know what I was feeling. I was just happy, and I was also, I don't know if it's called jealous or envious, or because I didn't feel what they felt. I knew there was something, and all I did was cry, and people thought I was crying because I was feeling the Spirit, you know, to get the Holy Ghost, but I was crying because I was mad because myself were not getting what they had. And anyways, the more I went to meetings, I went to so many meetings with Brother and Sister Tucker and others, and because I didn't, of course, drive, but I was so closer to God, you know, as a youth. I feel so ashamed that I got away from that, but it's never too late. There's always hope. As long as there's breath in my body, I'm here to praise Him, to lift His name up, and to, like they were saying, not sit on the job, but make yourself available. And that's what I've been asking the Lord. Lord, use me, whatever capacity you want me to, whatever I can do. You know what I'm able to do physically, and you know what I'm able not to do. But I know that many times I feel like running around the church. I know that's just me, because I know that I probably would fall. You know, I mean, I walk at home and I fall. You know, I mean, I haven't fallen but two times since my knee surgery. But that's not good, because they told me, be careful, don't fall, you know. And what do? I fall. But, you know, so that's on my mind whenever I want to run. And so that means I'm not trusting God. I want to be able to just let it go and just, Lord, you protect me. Because I've seen Him work on me up front, and I don't realize what I'm doing when I just let go and let God have His way. And I start jumping up and down, and I can't do that normally. But it's God. It's God, because I am making myself available. So that's what I want, to continue to do what God wants me to do, and to use me, make a fool of myself. I don't care, because it's for Him, for His glory. And I want to thank Him for everything, every little thing that He's done in my life. And I'm so appreciative of my heritage, of what I was brought up to believe, you know, go to church and believe in God and all that. But yes, I was forced to go to church. But back when I finally grew up, I made that decision myself. I got my own vision, and I'm here because of me, not because of my parents or anybody else, but because God let me, because of His grace, He let me be a part of the body of Christ. And I'm so thankful. And right now I think that I'm quenching, but I don't know. I just so, just pray for me. I just want to, oh God, I just want to let go, and I just can't. I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful to be a part of the body of Christ. And Lord, just use me. Lord, use me.
I'm a youth, but I didn't get to go to the youth meeting. I would have liked to, but other things prevented it. But I'm thankful that we had several youth that did get to go. I go to as many as I can, and it seems every time I do go, something happens, something touches me, to be reminded that there's a greater work God is doing. It's not just one thing here and there, but there are people that God has all over the world that He's bringing and giving a vision and an understanding of the Word of God, and giving a passion for His Word. Like you said, Sister Linda, I want to be willing to be used. I don't feel like I let the Lord use me enough. So I want to stand and say I'm willing to be used. Lord, whatever you would have of me, I want to be willing to yield it to you. If you would have me raise my hands, if you would have me praise you, if you would have me jump up and down, if you would have me dance for you, then I'll do whatever it takes to have a better relationship with you, to demonstrate to the world what you've done for me and what you can do for the world, Lord. Because there's so much sin and darkness in this world today. And if only people knew what the Lord can do. If only people knew what the Lord could do and come in and do.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, when I think about what he's done for me and where I could have been. Where I was before he brought me back here. How dead I was to the things of the Lord. How dead I was to this vision. And how he opened my eyes and raised me from the dead and made me alive. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to stand and express my appreciation. My appreciation for all of you, for all you've done and been and always been here for me and for being an example in my life. And encourage everybody here, don't become complacent. Don't ever let things come into your life. Because I've let things come in between me and my walk with God so many times. Even in the last few months, the last couple of years, even after I've started getting my life back together, I become so complacent. I sit down. I sit in one place. And I expect the Lord to come in and do something for me and change me without me giving an effort. But it has to be a mutual effort on both ends. I saw a sign I think it's a Nazarene church that's nearby on the road of our house. You know how churches will have a sign, have a little catchy saying to catch people's attention. It said, "What if the Lord is waiting on a sign from you?" So many times I think, Lord, give me a sign that you're there. Well, maybe he's waiting for a sign that I'm there. Maybe he's waiting on a sign for me to say I'm willing. Me to say I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to go the extra mile to reach a new level. A new level of dedication. A new level of commitment, of faithfulness. To stand up and rant this long, but I really just wanted to stand and say I'm thankful for this opportunity. I'm thankful for this vision. I'm thankful for this people. I'm thankful.
Let go and let God have his
Let go and let God have His way.
What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. My Lord. Woo! We are blessed. What's that saying? We're blessed by the best. Praise God. We are blessed to be in the house of God. And we're not just here by chance. God led us here. He opened the door and made a way. Woo! He didn't hold back, did he? Praise God. He didn't hold back. He's given us all, you know, somebody said, this is probably fiction, but it's a good thought. So they ask God, you know, show me everything that's going to happen, you know, for the rest of my life. The response was, you couldn't handle it. You couldn't handle it, you know, I think I might have heard Brother Linger say this, talking about people who always dwell on the sweet by and by and they forget about the nasty now. You know, it's true. It's true that life, you know, life offers us great rewards in the future. But I like what you was working on today, Brother Smith, about today. Our life today. The hope that we have today. The vision that we have today. The experiences that we're having today. Thank God. Those are the things that build our faith and our confidence and experience hope. Hope that maketh not ashamed. And one thing that did happen at the Houston meeting was there was a lot of running. I don't know if you remember that, Sister Bryant, but there was a lot of running and people running up and down the aisles. In fact, Brother Wright, I think the last day he said, we don't have stoplights here. So when y'all come to an intersection, proceed with caution. Well, you know, why not? Hey, why not feel excited about the Lord and appreciate this joy that we have that the world can't take away from us. They didn't give it to us, and they can't take it away from us. You know, and it's good for the old. It's good for the young. It'll make you speak in an unknown tongue. It is. It's good for all of us. And you see these little kids out here, and they'll get to dancing, and they feel good about it. And then you see Sister Crow get to dancing, and she feels good about it. And then you see everybody in between get to feeling good about it. Praise God. I feel good about it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember growing up as a child, I remember those hellfire and brimstone messages that the preachers would preach and the conviction that it just bring down on your life and where you just couldn't make your way to an altar fast enough to ask the Lord to forgive you and ask Him to come in as your personal Savior. Of course, I don't remember who was testifying. It may have been Brother Phil or Sister Chelsea talking about how that we come in and we're just, our life is just full of distraction. I was thinking today, now don't raise your hand or say that was me if you're guilty, but I've heard stories of people that would smuggle in a little handheld TV so that they could watch football games while the preacher was up preaching. Or have a radio in their ears so they could hear the game over the radio and check the score and stuff like that. And I was thinking about that today on how, you know, back then, that kind of technology and distraction was, you know, if you did it, you didn't tell anybody about it. You know, it's one of them things you just, you know, you just kept to yourself. And, of course, nowadays, if I'm not careful, I didn't bring my phone up here, but I'll have my phone out, and you can check the scores. You can watch whatever rerun you want to. You can watch whatever football game or back. You can do all kinds of things and be plenty distracted sitting right here and not receiving the good things of the Lord. And I thought, Lord, how is God going to compete? How does God contend with the distractions of humanity? How does he do it? He appeals to our heart. The Bible says that where the heart is, there will your treasures be also. Where your heart is, what you're thinking about, what you're worrying about, that's where your treasure is. And so he appeals to our heart. And it's great. I mean, it's fantastic. I got excited hearing these young ladies testify, and Blake testifying, and Elisha going to the meeting. I got excited about that. It's, you know, it's important. It's significant in their life to get something that, you know, planted deep in their life. Whenever I moved to this town, Brother Linegar, he asked me, he said, Brother Nathan, why do you want to move? And I said, Brother Linegar, because I want my children, I want my family to be planted in the body of Christ. And it's those experiences that they'll get going to meetings, working in meetings, working here amongst the local assembly. It's the experiences that they get that they'll never forget. It's the friendships that they'll make that they'll never leave. I have friends that I may see once a year or once every 2 or 3 years sometimes. And, you know, it's just like we just saw each other last week and we can just pick right up. Hey, how you doing? There's no love lost at all in the friends that I've made in the body of Christ. And it's a wonder. It's wonderful. And then you hear about different ones that, you know, like the Vanderbilt boy and knowing what he's going through. And I saw a text or a message on Facebook and then hear that testimony tonight about how that he's encouraged through it. You know, that just, when you know what that boy's gone through a little bit, I know a little bit about it. And then you see that he's not going to let it hold him back. Thank God. You know, they come back with a good report. Some people come back with the grapes, don't they? Thank God. I'm glad those are the ones that are talking. It's the people that come back with the grapes. And then you hear a song like Sister Bryant brought out, Let Go and Let God Have His Wonderful Way. How long has it been since you heard that song? That's an old song, isn't it? She didn't just get that yesterday. Somebody passed that along to her, thank God. We're not just working on something that started yesterday or last week. Thank God we're working on something that reaches far back in time. Hallelujah. Somebody made a road. They made a way for you and I. We're reaping the benefits of other men's labors, thank God. Hallelujah. Woo! Aren't you blessed tonight? Thank God somebody made a way for you. Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus, he said, I pray not for them, talking about his disciples. He said, but as many as hear their voice, as many as are afar off, it's you and I. He's prayed for us. He said a prayer. He made a way. Thank God. He didn't just say, well, only the extra, extra, extra special perfect ones are going to make it. He didn't do that. He laid out a plan, like Brother Smith described to us today. He laid out a plan that the weak and the feeble and the lame and the halt and the blind, thank God, can still make perfection. They can still rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Why? Because he's appealing to their heart. It's not by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Praise God. I was reading in the 4th chapter of Acts, and there was a particular verse that just jumped out to me. In the 4th chapter of Acts, in the 32nd verse, it said, And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which be possessed of his own, but they had all things common. And this scripture is commonly used, and I'm not an expert in the realms of government, but certain political parties, a socialist framework, will take the scripture and they'll use it against Christians. They will say, well, just sell everything you have and let's have all things common. That's what communism was, or that's what they wanted it to be, but it didn't work out that way. And so that, in that light, I'm going to step out. This is my opinion. I don't think that scripture can be used appropriately there. And if people try to use it to push a socialist agenda, I think that's a mistake. But I'll tell you how I do see it. When they sold what they had and they had all things common, the intent there was more along the lines that you didn't do without. You know, just like James said, pure religion undefiled is to take care of the fatherless and the widows who are widows indeed. The intent there is that we don't see our fellow brothers and sisters do without, to go hungry or to be homeless or to lack in care. That's to me, when I read that scripture, that's how I think about the application there. And when you have something that somebody needs, the Bible says that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The reason it's more blessed to give than it is to receive is because you have it. You have it to give. You're more blessed because you have it to give. But I'll remind you that the Bible also says that withhold not the good that is within thy power. When you have the good, you know, Brother Smith, he used that today, that word gooder. I think he did when he said the Bible just keeps getting gooder and gooder. Well, he has the good. He has it. And he's implementing that scripture. He's not withholding it. My problem is I don't have enough to, I can't receive it all, Brother Smith. I get a little weary in it sometimes. It's not your fault. He has the good to share. I just don't always have the capability to receive. He said to withhold not the good when it's within thy power. And that's just saying, if you can pay a compliment, if you can help somebody, if there's something that you can do, don't withhold it. There's a scripture. It's talking about giving. When you give as unto the Lord, it shall be given back to you, pressed down and running over, shaken together and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom? Thank you. Thank you, brother. If you give your life, now here's where the rubber meets the road. Is when you give your life for the Lord, you're giving it all. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of Luke, he said, except a man love or hate his father and mother, except a man forsaketh all, and come and take up his cross and follow me, he shall have no part. That's where the rubber meets the road, right there. That's where you come to the crossroad in your life when the distractions are conflicting with the Lord's tug on your heart. And the truth is that doesn't happen once. It doesn't happen once a day. It happens. It's life. It's day to day. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. It's here a little. It's there. Sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes it's totally unexpected when the Lord asks you to make a choice. Y'all seen a picture of the little boy holding two cow's tails, and they're walking down the trail, and then the trail comes to the Y, and one cow's going one way, and the other cow's going the other. And he's got, you know, it could have been lead ropes, could have been a number of things, but he's got to make a choice. There comes a time in all of our lives where we have to make a choice. Who choose ye this day whom ye shall serve? Now, the next verse in Acts 4:33 is the one that just kind of, there's two words in there that just kind of jumped out at me. And it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And I thought about that word. And of course, the word grace, I believe in that scripture, is indicates favor, is how it's interpreted in the Greek, is favor. And, you know, favor can come in a number of ways. Let's say, for example, I was to break the law, and I come before a judge, and it's my first offense. And I broke the law. It was foolish. Maybe I was ignorant. You know, they say ignorance is no excuse to the law. But the judge still has the authority to show me favor. And he may give me a sentence with just probation. Or he may just say, if you'll take, you know, here's an example. This is a live, real life example for me. I was speeding, broke the law, and got a big ticket for it. Believe it or not, I was on my way home from church. That's the way it happens. The judge says you can pay the fine, and if you'll take this defensive driving course, it won't go on your record. Well, they showed me favor. They allowed me grace to comply with the order. Took the class, learned a few things, and got it off my record. That's fantastic. I appreciated that. Well, I had what jumped out at me there is the apostles had the power. Did you know that you can have power and not have grace? Sure, everybody knows that. If you've ever seen anybody kick a dog, then you know that that person that did that, that offender that did it, they had power, but they didn't have grace. Because if they had had grace, they wouldn't have hurt that animal like that. Or someone that's slapped a child. They had the power to do it, but they didn't have the grace. They didn't have the temperament or the restraint enough to behave themselves. They didn't know how to control the power. The disciples, they had power. I mean, Peter walked. He walked by a man who was lame, and the man said, you know, alms. You got any alms? And Peter said, I don't have any money. Silver and gold have I none. He said, but you know, he said, I've got power. Jesus gave me power. He said, such as I have, give I thee. Take up thy bed and walk. Well, at the end of the day, if you'd have asked the man, which would you rather have, a healing or a bag of gold, you already know the answer. He had to take the healing every day, you know, as they say, and twice on Sunday. They had the disciples, the apostles, had power. Peter had enough power that when the men came to get Jesus, he smote the man's ear off. He didn't have grace, did he? He had power, but he didn't have enough grace. Jesus did. He reached over and even though that man was carrying him to his death, if you will, he still reached over his hand and healed that man, restored his ear. Power and grace. So it said that with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land and houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, I will concede that they did sell what they had. They did share. They gave themselves. What they did is they sold out. And I've thought about this. You know, if you were a Jew in that time frame, you belonged to a tribe. They were tribal people. And so if they, you know, if there was a child that, you know, maybe the child's father was killed, the family would take care of that child or the mother. They would assume responsibility for the widows and the fatherless. That's what they did. And so if you were a Jew and now you've suddenly forsaken all your history, all your ancestral tribal connections, you've turned your back on all of that because you said, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, that when you do that, that cuts you off from the Jewish people because you were rejecting them. And so they separated themselves from their lifeline, their all that support system that they had in place, all the assistance and funding and all those things that they were dependent upon. When they said, I confess Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, the Savior of humanity, they cut all that off. You know, there's coming a day. This nation is more dependent on assistance than we've ever been. But there's coming a day, and I don't long for that day because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to suffer. But there's coming a day when we'll have to make choices. Jesus even told his disciples, he said, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. Our faith today is not in, you know, the government sources of assistance. Our faith today is not in government protection. Our faith, Brother Durham, your faith today is not in a healthcare system. Brother Durham will tell you that. He's said that he's trusting God for his healing. And it may have been told here, maybe Brother Bryant might have told it about that sister Karen, what's her last name? Peach, thank you. She has lived with cancer. She didn't say what kind, but she's lived with cancer for 20, 25 years. She went to the doctor. They said she had cancer. And she said God made her make a choice. Said, you can trust me, or you can, and I'll tell you what to do, or you can trust the doctors. And when she said, when God made her make that choice, she didn't, I can't remember if she said it wasn't so much whether or not to go to the doctor, but it was just she was going to trust God and that every decision she was going to pray about. And 25 years later, after being diagnosed with cancer, she was still living. She was still functioning. She was still taking care of her day-to-day life. And she said, I'm still trusting God today. She said, if he takes me today, okay. She said, if he lets me live, then great. She said, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of cancer. I'm not afraid of the things that are going to hurt me because I'm trusting in God. And I see a time in our lives where it won't matter to us whether we have riches or whether we don't. It won't matter to us whether we have access to the finest hospitals or whether we don't. It won't matter to us if we know, you know, Jesus told his disciples, said, take no thought for tomorrow. For sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It won't matter to us if we know where our meal's coming from tomorrow or next week or next month. We're going to find a place in our life where our trust and our confidence is in God, come what may. Praise God. Without fear or favor. Hallelujah. We're trusting the Lord, whatever the circumstance. Praise God. And so, you know, as we enter into a time frame like that, though, I do see, and this is where I proceed with caution. As I enter into a time frame like that, as a confession to you all, I recognize that the ministry, the men and leadership of the body of Christ will be operating with great pressure. And we'll need an unbelievable amount of authority and wisdom just to meet the needs of the people. To meet the needs of the people and to keep things in harmonious, if you will. But I'm not just talking about feeding people. We're talking about a restored church. I mean, we're talking about tearing down thousands of years of religious doctrine. We're talking about systems that are so ingrained in just something as simple as the Godhead. And just the very thought of them changing from teaching the Trinity message would destroy, it would obliterate their operation. You think they're going to just let that go? Just, okay. No, they're not going to let that go. They're going to hold on to it. Because that's what men do. It's mine. You see that M in the middle of your hand. It says it's M. In the middle of your hand stands for mine. Just like that song, let go. Let go and let God have his wonderful way. So that's where I see myself, Brother Smith. I do see myself at a crossroads. And I don't have enough honor. I don't have enough understanding of how to honor and work with the ministry as they move into a pressure cooker, if you will. Now I'm going to show you something here in the seventh chapter of Acts, or the sixth chapter of Acts. It says that the disciples, the apostles, they were given great grace and power, right? Why? They were saving thousands of people. They were taking care of them. They were feeding them. They were doing all kinds of things. Now, in the sixth chapter of Acts, I want you to notice this. There's a word in the first verse. This was a fantastic time in the early church. Brother Smith told us today about Matthew 27:52. There was all kinds of people in that congregation that had needs. The Lord was blessing those people, and there was healings and miracles and people being filled with the Holy Ghost. There was great power dispensed amongst the early church. But notice here, there's a little word here in this first verse. It said, and in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Did you notice that word? Murmuring. Now, why would they be murmuring? They had it all. They had exactly what we want. Brother Talley, they had the Spirit of God. It was rich. They had been walking with the Lord. They had witnessed the resurrection of the Lord. They seen people getting healed. Have you ever seen someone healed or raised from the dead? I think I have. Twice. If they weren't dead, they were as dead as anybody I've ever seen. They had it. They had a lame man take up his bed and walk by the very shadow of a man. They had power. They had power. They had power and grace. They had wisdom. But there was still murmuring. Brother Smith said the sons of God came before God, and Satan came also. We know it's true. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Where's your distraction at? What are you going to do about that distraction? Are you going to murmur about it? Are you going to murmur about whatever's keeping your mind off the Lord? Are you going to be fretting and frustrated about it? I encourage you not to. Pray about it. Trust the Lord. Put your faith in Him. Live your life as though you're surrendered. Everything about you is surrendered to the Lord. Your whole life. Tell Him, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am. Everything I'm not. I'm yours, Lord. I surrender everything I have to you. Hallelujah. My health. My happiness. My prosperity. My future. My hopes. My dreams. Everything I've got, Lord, I surrender to you. Praise God. Oh, shalom ahasha. Oh, my Lord. Oh, God. Sure, it'll bring fear. It'll make you nervous a little bit. It'll make you twitch a little when you really begin to say it with emphasis. When you really begin to humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you'd have for me, I'm yours. Oh, yes, it'll raise something up in you. That old man, that carnal nature, and you don't want to die. But the hope and the promise is pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will God cause men to give unto you? What are they going to give to you? Honor, respect, courtesy, grace, power. I'm talking about the intangibles. I'm not talking about money and houses and land. All that passes away. You know, Brother Paul, one of the greatest things somebody could give you is their undivided attention. Brother Smith, I'd like to give you more of mine. One of the greatest things that you can give somebody is your undivided attention, your affection, your love. Be generous with it. It's within your power. You have it. You have the power. Right here tonight, you have the power to give your attention. Your affection, you have it. It's not lost. Somebody didn't steal it. It's yours. It's yours to give. You have the energy. Now, granted, we don't have the energy to... I guess they had a young man get up on the pulpit and dance there at Godfrey. So I heard Brother Eli was telling me about it. I don't have the energy for that. Oh, I thought about it. But not here. And not today. I've seen people skip across the backsides of pews. Well, that seems so foreign and radical and unbecoming and all those things. Well, you know, one of the best things that I can do, Brother Crafton, is get outside and play. You know what? Swing from the tree limb or jump a ditch or play tag or exert some energy and not feel like a knot on a log? I feel alive when I do stuff like that. Get out and get the blood pumping through my heart and get excited and break a sweat and stuff like that. That makes me feel alive. Well, I want to feel alive in the house of God. Woo! I told you, I remember those old-time preachers, those hellfire and brimstone preachers and the sweat. You know, they'd just be wringing a sweat out of their handkerchiefs, and they'd be preaching out there under the stars in the football stadiums and tell us about how that God sent His only begotten Son, thank God. And He gave the very best that He had, thank God, for the salvation of humanity, hallelujah. And He didn't leave you out. Woo! And it'd be hot in those summertime revivals. Those men didn't hold back. They might not have run up and down those football fields, but I'm going to tell you right now, they exerted a lot of energy. They poured their heart into it. People would go down, they'd raise their hands up, and they'd begin to pray. And their clothes would get... Now, what I'm talking about wasn't Pentecostal. So it just went to a certain... a level, but I'm going to tell you, they still got drenched in sweat. They still knelt down in their nice trousers on that green grass. They still, I can say this because I got 3 girls and a lovely wife, and they still got runs in their hose and scuffed up the tips on their high heels. They didn't let any of that stuff hold them back. They didn't hold back. What was within their power? What's within your power? If you haven't given your heart to the Lord, you should. It's within your power. He's not going to take it from you. If you haven't given Him the center of your affection, I would encourage you to do so. It's in your power. It's in your power. Do you need grace tonight? You can have it. Are you looking for favor from God? Can have it. I'm not saying that it's going to be the grace and power that the apostles had. I'm not saying that. I don't know all things, Brother Thompson. I might get on the job tomorrow and need favor and I not have it. I recognize that. But what I am saying is that if God favors me on my job, or if God favors me in my home, or if God favors me in my community, great. If God doesn't favor me in a certain circumstance on my job or in my home or in my... that's okay too. Because I'm His. I'm giving Him me. Why? Because it's within my power. And it's within yours to give of yourself. I'm happy to be here. There may be murmuring in the camp. It happened. Don't have Brother Smith, don't have preacher for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He can't stop the murmuring. Hey, if the apostles couldn't stop the murmuring, don't expect Brother Smith to be able to. It's going to happen. But, I've got a saying, this man I work for, his name is Jerry Orr. And I'll tell you how God favors people. This man, Jerry Orr, he had an associate's degree. That's it. Mr. Walton, he was a clean man, and Mr. Walton saw him and started to promote him and made him the director of tax for Walmart Stores Incorporated. And with an associate's degree. He didn't have an LMN or whatever it is. He wasn't a licensed attorney. He didn't have a master's in accounting. He had an associate's degree. This guy was a director of tax for a multi-billion dollar company with an associate's degree. You know what he did every Sunday? He got his family ready and he went to church every Sunday. God favored that man. I had the privilege of working for him for a while before he retired. And he told me, he said, I had a legitimate complaint. I did. And you know what he asked me? He didn't tell me. He said, Nathan, he said, are you a part of the problem or the solution? He said, because right now I don't hear any solutions. That made me mad. Brother Tally, I had a complaint. I figured he could fix it. What I didn't know is he was expecting me to help him fix it. What I didn't know is he was expecting me not to just come in and tell him, hey, the lights are off. Hello, the lights are off. Lights are off. You know, as a little kid will do that. They'll, you know, if they can't reach a switch or whatever. Hey, instead of cursing the darkness, turn on the light. You know, that's the way we should approach life. There's going to be murmuring in the camp. There's going to be things that frustrate us. There's going to be things that hold us back. What are you going to do about it? What can you change? What's within your power to do? If you have the power to do good, do it. And so I think about that all the time. Are you part of the problem or part of the solution? Well, when I'm honest with myself, I'm more part of the problem. Brother Gary Green told me one time, he said, one of the hardest things you'll ever do is be honest with yourself. Around our house, we call that the dirty truth. The dirty truth. Hey, this is just how it is. Now, how do we fix it? I'm really happy to be here. We had a good trip to Houston. And I really appreciated, I mentioned this previous, but I really appreciated seeing the men work together without reservation. It felt good. It just felt fantastic. We have a wonderful leadership in the body of Christ. And we're in something. We are. The Lord has really blessed us with a wonder. We're in a great time. I mean, it's just, I've been in meetings I've seen, you know, some of the poor times that have been described without repeating. But I don't see that right now. And there was such an excitement and a jubilation in the Houston meeting. There was running. There was just a lot of running and prayer lines and just happiness, much like we feel here tonight. Just let go. Let God have His wonderful way. Praise God.
good day today. And I'm thankful for the good words and testimonies from our youth and the songs tonight and Brother Painter's words encouraging us to get committed, stay committed, keep yielding. That's the secret. Just keep yielding to the Lord. I don't want, you know, did you know God can, he can flip one switch and change everything in your life just like that? Yeah. You know, the Lord can just, he can make a little move in our lives and cause us to forget about all the things that's on our mind and get focused right back on him. I don't want the Lord to have to shake me that hard. I want to get focused on him and stay focused on him with my own, you know, just put my will down and make sure I'm working in his will and enjoying what he wants me to enjoy in life, because it's good enough. Hallelujah. So, this has been good here tonight. Mention again, the funeral is the viewing Tuesday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 3, and then the funeral will be right after that at 3:30, Sister Elsie's memorial service, and then we'll feed in the dining room right after that. Family and helpers, those who can, and we'll try to have food for most everybody, I think, that can stay, and I think Sister Ann's going to try to prepare for about 100. So, and the sisters, it's working and helping her. I appreciate all the workers in this church. You can't do what we do without faithful people. I appreciated Brother Painter's words on, you know, mentioning how he came to this church because he wanted to get his family planted in this. You know, you can get too remote. And you can lose out. You can lose your salvation over being too remote. But you got, if you're going to become a part of something, you got to get in it and get a, and be a working part of it. You can't dilly dally around with the flesh. It'll overcome if you do. And there's something else he said that I wanted to comment on. I'm trying to think of what it was. What was that? Huh? Oh, within your power to do it? Yeah, that. I can't remember. There's just a little phrase he said. I thought I'd add to it a little wit to it, but I can't. My wit's gone. I've lost my wits. I say wit anyway. Maybe some of them will come to me if it's in another time, but anyway. Oh, I know what it was. You was talking about somebody told you, you know, when there's a complaint, said, I'm hearing the complaint, but I'm not hearing any answers, solutions. Well, somebody came to me and said, I want to gripe at you, Brother Smith. I said, go ahead and gripe. But they gave me the problem, but they gave me a solution. They said, down in the bathrooms, in the basement, those that clean the bathrooms and take their trash sacks, they bring them up front and drop them in the big trash can that's already got more trash sacks in it and fill that up, and there's a double sack that we're wasting to take out to the dumpster. They said the solution is walk right on by them big white buckets right on out to the dumpster and drop it out there. It'll save money, save time, and somebody else won't have to take your trash out. So there's a gripe with a solution. Did y'all get the solution? That's what I want you to get. All right, let's give him a praise before we go home. God's blessed our lives, hasn't he? We're blessed here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, for bringing our youth home safe, and giving them a good meeting and encouraging and lifting them up, Lord. God, for touching us here with your good word of God, that the leaders and that you've gave our brethren, that's gave it and passed.